Praise God. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 2? 1 John chapter 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. First John chapter 2. It's just for me and you. Amen. Glory to God. In verse 15. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Would y'all read it with me, please? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? You know, when we fall in love with the things of the world, what we do is we quench the love of God. We quench the love of God when we fall in love with the things of the world. Actually, you really don't love the world, you lust the world. Because you're looking for worldly things for fulfillment and satisfaction. Is everybody with me? So when you start having a love, what we call love affair or whatever with the world, what happens is we begin to quench the love of God. There's an exchange made. Amen? It says, for all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the what? So when we love the world, that means we love lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride. Is everybody with me? Those are the three areas that the devil tempts us on, isn't it? Amen? And verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the what? Lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we know that the world is passing away, and the lust with the world is passing away. So if you're caught up in loving the world, guess what? You're passing away. Hello? Everybody with me? And this is where the devil loves to snare us, doesn't he? And there's many areas in our life where we fall into lust, and people don't even realize it. You know, even believers have a hard time to think, to discern the difference between lust and love. And it's amazing of the deception that the devil brings. And what we want to do is expose the works of the enemy, don't we? Because we always must be one step ahead of the devil. In other words, when the Spirit of the Lord gives us things, what is going to happen usually is there's going to be a wave of something happening. Right now we see a wave of prosperity, don't we? Well, let me tell you, if you're not in position, you'll get caught up. Hello? You'll get caught up in the prosperity movement. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. Amen? I mean, I'm getting calls from all kinds of people telling me, man, you need to invest in this and you need to invest in that. I had a call today from someone who was telling me, I need to invest in stocks. I don't invest in stock. The only stock I have is from my dad. That's the kingdom of God. The greatest stock you can ever have. What a return. Amen? And it was like, well, you know, don't worry about it. If you know, when you put your money into it, just consider it loss, and if you get it back, you're blessed. It's like, no way. No, that's not how my dad operates. That's how the world operates. Amen? They call it chance, or they call it lucky, but the word lucky comes from the word Lucifer. Hello. So why would we even want to associate with it? One thing we don't want to assume. You can't lose by investing in the kingdom of God. See, because even in this prosperity movement, and the people may have a good motive. You know, yes, I'm going to invest because I want to be able to expand the kingdom of God. Well, if you want to invest and expand the kingdom of God, invest in the kingdom of God. Hello. Praise God. So, so these three temptations that the devil always wants to come to us are always associated with lust. Even pride is lust of self. Amen? Now, lust is not love. It's not love. Lust is not love. everybody with me? Okay. So what the devil tries to do is he tries to move us out of position with lust. And what this does, it will remove us from the position from receiving God's love when we get caught up in lust. The other thing it does is it not only removes us from receiving His love, it removes us from receiving His promises. And it also removes us from walking in His presence. Lust. Amen? So three things that happen when we get caught up in lust. It removes us from God's love, from His promises, and from His presence. And one of the things that we don't even realize, and we know that there's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, but I'm going to share something with you, which is probably the most lustful thing there is, and that's lust of the eye. You know, I see commercials of these individuals selling all parts of automobiles, and they call it eye candy. I don't know if you've ever seen any of that. Eye candy. Well, let me tell you, it's lust. You know? And there's just a place where you and I as believers should not look. There's just a place where you and I have no right to even look. And if we look long enough, we begin to lust. And it's involved in everything. And I want to talk about lust of the eye tonight. Actually, lust of the eyes. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. One of the things that happens is not only does when we get involved with lust cause us to get out of position receiving God's love, promises, and His presence, but it causes us to be impure. Impure or disobedient. It causes us to be impure. And one of the things God wants us to do is be pure, doesn't He? It says, who can approach or abide in the mountain of God? But He has a what? Pure heart. Pure. The Word tells us that the Lord is coming back for a blemish-free church, isn't He? That means a pure church. And lust starts right with the eye. Right with the eye. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Oh, hallelujah. We have a teaching that says, don't go there. We need to relate this to don't look there, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to give some revelation that the Spirit shared with me. And, he put a book across my path that just really touched certain areas that just I knew that were the Lord. In other words, brought so many things to light. And it's amazing in the deception that we walk in when we don't even realize because we are lusting over things that we don't even realize we're lusting over. In fact, covetousness is lust. Do you know that? It's lust. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, hallelujah. In verse 27, would you read it with me? Verse 27. But I what? Discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So that means you and I must have dominion over our members. Amen? In other words, he says, I discipline my body, lest I become what? Disqualified. Well, let me tell you, the devil knows when you're disqualified. He knows. You remember we talked about before about the when the chief priests of the temple and the Jews and whatever tried to cast out those demons, right? And he said, I cast out these demons in the name of Paul's God, right? And the demons said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And kicked their butt, stripped them naked, and threw them out their own house, right? Because those demons knew, didn't they? They knew the marks of Christ. And those demons know also whether you're qualified or disqualified. They can see. Remember, they are spirits. And they know whether you've been spotted or not. Do you understand that? Because if they see the marks of Christ, they're going to see their marks, aren't they? That's why God is calling us to be pure. The Bible says it's not what you put in that defiles you, it's what you put out, doesn't it? But then there's another area. See, people get defiled by what they speak, don't they? They bring blemishes on themselves. Amen? Well, you get defiled by what you see also. You must be careful. Very careful. Because, you know, we're in a perverse world, aren't we? I mean, there's nothing but sensuality everywhere. No matter where you look on a billboard, if they're selling tires, there's somebody naked there. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. They're selling water, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. There's some kind of sexuality involved in everything in this world. Because this world is perverse and it's lusted. Totally lusted out. Of eye, flesh, pride, nothing but a ball of lust. And we're walking on it. And temptation is around every corner. It's around everything. You try to go in a doctor's office, there's something there, believe me. Whatever it is. Now, lust just doesn't have to do with sex or an opposite sex. It also has to do with lusting over material things, doesn't it? Covetousness. You know? And the Word tells us that if we begin to build on what God has delivered us from, it's an abomination. In other words, some people get freed up and delivered in certain things and they go back to lust in that same area again. And they go in that vicious cycle. Pride is lust. It's lust of self. Amen? And that cycle needs to get broke. And it's not going to get broke until we get a true understanding and light comes to that area. Amen? Do I have an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So one of the things that needs to be done is we need to discipline ourselves. But you can't discipline yourself unless you know the truth. You just can't. I mean, we all wanted to try and discipline ourselves before, but we couldn't because we didn't know. In other words, you didn't have a weapon or a tool to discipline yourself. Because you didn't know what you were disciplining yourself for. You knew what you were doing was wrong, but you didn't know what was wrong. So only truth allows you in that area to discipline. So one of the things that we want to do is discipline our body. Now discipline in our body is a representation of taking dominion over our desires and appetites. Taking dominion over your desires and appetites is disciplining your body. You keep yourself from being spotted from the world. Disciplining yourself. Amen? It's taking dominion over your desires and appetites. Now, there may be different types of appetites. Because, you know, lusting in itself is an appetite, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, how many times have you said, man, I'm not doing that again? We go right back to doing it. We go in that vicious cycle. Man, I got snagged on that last time. You want to kick yourself in the butt or ask somebody else to do it for you? 2 Peter chapter 3. Would you read verse 14? Is everybody there? Therefore, beloved, verse 14, 2 Peter chapter 3. Everybody there? Praise God. Let's all try this together. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. Oh, hallelujah. Now we know about that, right? There's a difference between relationship and religion. Religion does not understand. Hello. That's why it's a relationship, why we associate with the Spirit of the living God. He's the Spirit of truth. But he says something very powerful. He says, listen, you and I are to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Every one of us. He's coming back for a blameless church, isn't he? A bride. Blemish-free bride. Amen? So you and I must be diligent to stay pure. We must be diligent to stay pure. In Luke 16. In Luke chapter 16. Verse 10, so if you and I are to be diligent to stay pure, that means we have to be faithful, don't we? You know, and there's an area where there is a purity of stewardship. God checks us out. You know that everything that we do, we're tested on? You know that? Everything that is happening, God is looking for us to be pure, not only in what we look at and what things that we associate with, but even in stewardship, he's asking us to be pure. There's a purity in that. In other words, when God gives you a position or a place, he's expecting you to be pure. He's expecting you to be faithful. He's expecting you to act like it's yours. Amen? No matter what position or what place, he's expecting me and you to be pure in that place. Amen? To upkeep it, whatever. Keep guard over it. Protect it. To be good stewards. That's faithful, isn't it? And in verse 10 he says, he who is what? Faithful in what is least is what? Faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in also much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the what? True riches. Listen, if you're not diligent, if you're not staying pure before God, if you're taking God's money in his position and squandering it and doing things you shouldn't do, are you being faithful? Are you spending money because you just don't feel like doing something? You know, are we wasting God's money? We always have to look at these things. In other words, because it's not ours, is it? It's the Lord's. Amen. And everything we do is the Lord's. The Bible says, labor unto the Lord, right? You know, it amazes me how many people go and spend money on those scratch lottery things. It blows my mind. I mean, they look every payday. They're in there buying a dozen of these things and scratching. And they win $5 on one and they buy five more and they lose it. You know? They're walking in chance, aren't they? Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with buying a lottery ticket, but there's something wrong with it if you're relying on it every week. Does everybody understand that? Now, there are people who have bought a lottery ticket. Hallelujah. That's between them and God, isn't it? But I can't imagine. And I know someone that the Lord told one time to go get it. But it's not something that you rely on. That lottery ticket is not your source. Amen? We defile ourselves in certain areas. Why? Because we become like the world then, don't we? Amen? Does everybody understand that? You know, when people, I mean, it blows my mind. As soon as they cash their check, they go and buy five of those scratch-offs or whatever, or even during their lunches and whatever. Let me tell you something. If you're spending more than $1 a month or $2 a month on a lottery ticket, you better be careful. Hello. I buy one every once in a great while. I mean, it could be 3 or 4 months. Hello. I always say, well, I'll give God an opportunity to bless me. But I'm not religious. Hello. I'm not religious. I mean, people, some people are, oh man, you bought a lottery ticket? Oh dear God. No. I'm his son. He says, don't abuse the freedom, but use it.
Amen.
That means you better not eat nothing. Don't get religious in here. Verse 11. Read it with me. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Woo. No servant can serve two masters, can he? For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Oh, hallelujah. Now the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, doesn't it? That means the lust of money is the root of all evil. You know, many people spend their waking hours trying to figure out how to make more money. That's a terrible place to be in. All day long. You wake up in the morning first thing, how can I make money? What a terrible way to live. That's lust of money. You know, the devil loves to put us in the area of ketchup, especially after you, you know, if you've lived a life of the way I lived, you know, squandered a lot of money when I was in the world and whatever. Then things start going well, and the devil wants to put you in a place of catch up. Let me tell you, that will tarnish you. Because it will put you in a position of lust. Because now you're trying to fulfill. And you got caught up in that cycle. Next thing you know, you're stressed out, overworked, overwhelmed, and don't know what to do. It's because we begin to stretch ourselves. We begin to try to do things to catch up, and we get caught up in lust. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. So we want to stay faithful, don't we, in staying pure. We want to stay faithful and staying pure. Why? Because we want God to continue to build the house, not us. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. You know, you talk about lust of the eye. I mean, some of these people, and like I said, who are doing these scratch-offs or whatever, man, they see those numbers before they even scratch them off. But the number ain't there. That ain't there. Oh, they're going, See, because that's lust involves deception. It always involves deception. I hear people, man, once I win the lottery or whatever, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Hallelujah. See ya. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Would you read it with me? Blessed are the pure in heart. Hello, say that again. Blessed are the pure in heart. So what's those who are not pure in heart? Cursed. Hello, the opposite of blessed is what? Cursed. Now listen, this is powerful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see the things of God. Do you understand that? They shall see the things that God... In other words, Jesus said something very profound. He says, I don't do anything unless I see my what? Father do it first. Why? Because his heart was pure. He walked in a pure state. He was pure. See, if you're seeing the way God wants you to see, we won't do the things that we do. Hello? We won't act the way we act. We won't say the things we say. And we won't lust out of the eyes the things that we lust. Because your eyes will be focused on the Lord because of the pure heart. Oh, hallelujah. It says, blessed. Let me share something with you. The pathway of blessing is the pathway of obedience. Without obedience, there is not blessing. And I'm talking about blessing of God, not self-imposed blessings. The pathway of a blessing is a pathway of obedience. Keeping yourself with a pure heart. Go to 1 Timothy 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 22, would you read it with me? Do not lay hands on anyone hastily or snare in other people's sins. Keep yourself what? Keep yourself pure. Now, in other words, the word sin means presence of God. I mean, the presence of evil, excuse me. The word sin means the presence of evil. Amen? So when you begin to sin, you begin to associate with the presence of evil, aren't you? Amen? Good. So we want to keep ourselves pure, don't we? We don't want to entangle ourselves with other people's sins. You ever see somebody get in an argument? You go there and try and break it up. Next thing you know, you're arguing with them. You just got caught up in it, didn't you? You tried to be a peacemaker, but yet you became an attribute. That's why you bind a strong man before you enter into that thing. Because you're not fighting flesh and blood. But if you're not seeing through the eyes of God, you're seeing through your eyes. Hello? And you're going to try and fix something in the flesh instead of in the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 30. Proverbs, chapter 30. You don't want to know where we're at right now in this world? Go to verse 11. There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There's a generation that is pure in its what? Own eyes. Yet is not washed from its filthiness. Whew. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. And their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. This is the generation, the age we're in right now. Not that we're the generation of grace, aren't we? Amen. Amen? But the world is in this generation of devour, of lust. I mean, lust is escalating tremendously, isn't it? The lust is phenomenal. People are going in debt left and right to fulfill a desire of lust. People want, I mean, they are going in great debt. I mean, there is so much promotion for automobiles and everything. I mean, they got great financing. I mean, you know, you gotta beat down those letters. You got to rip those letters up that come every week. They want to just put you in debt. Why? They're promoting lust. But do you know how much of the body of Christ is still in debt because of its taking the bite and the bait of lust? That's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Or how much of the body of Christ is still trying to compete with the next door neighbor? Oh, hallelujah. It brings a snare, doesn't it? It brings deception. It brings impurity. And we have to be very careful about it. But this is the generation. This is the generation where we're at right now. This is who we are walking among. The world is in this generation. Go to Matthew 6. You know, we just read about being pure in its own eyes. You know what? They can't see because they're being misled. Amen? They're being misled. They can't see. Because lust has blinded them. Did you ever talk to someone and go, man, can't you see? You're not supposed to be purchasing that. Man, they don't care what you got to say. They're going to go get that loan and buy it. You know why? That lust has blinded them. And then later on, they're like, man, sure wish I wouldn't have bought that. I didn't know that payments was going to, and I didn't know that this was going to happen. And I didn't know all of these wonderful other things were going to happen, and now I can't do them because I don't have any money. But I had to have it right now. Oh, lustophilia. Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. I don't know if you can look that word up in a dictionary. But they ought to put it in there. Praise God. Maybe it's lustophobia. Praise be to God. Okay, Matthew 6:22. Is everybody there? Aren't you glad we're not religious? Shoo-wee. Would you read verse 22 with me? The lamp of the body is the what? Read it again. The lamp of the body is the what? One more time. The lamp of the body is the eye. And if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Depending on what you see. Amen. What are you looking at? Don't look there. What are you looking at? You know, even when you have goofy dreams, you looked there, didn't you? You saw? Man, you need to wake up. If those dreams are not good, you know they're not God. You curse that corruptible seed and break and loose yourself from the associated spirits because the devil planted a seed in you to produce more lust. And people wonder why they're fighting and trying to break. Man, I don't understand it. I'm all the stuff is happening. Well, what was your dream like about 2 nights ago? Well, I. Well, what'd you do about it? Well, nothing. I just stuffed it underneath the bed. Well, it didn't go away. Remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood. God has given us the Holy Spirit that we have discernment to know how to get into the other realm so we can kick butt. But if we don't use the weapons of God, we're going to end up losing battles and become casualties of war. Because there is a war going on. The lamp of the body is the eye, and if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Wow. How great is that darkness? Well, of course, you can tell by the fruit. Amen? You know, you'd be driving down the road or with someone, and that's all they're doing is talking about, oh, man, look at that car. Oh, man, look at that girl. Oh, man, look at that guy. Oh, man, look at, oh, whoa, oh, whoa. That's all they're doing is lusting over the world, aren't they? Amen? They're lusting over the world. He's talking about the sin of looking now, isn't he? It's the sin of looking. Go to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 101 in verses 2 and 3 and 4. Psalm 101, verses 2, 3, and 4. Would you read it with me? I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart or a pure heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. He knows that if he sets something wicked before his eyes, it's going to affect his what? Heart. It's going to defile his heart. It's going to bring an impurity. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. Why? He knows it's going to cause someone to fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. So we got to understand something, that an impure heart or a perverse heart is associating with wickedness, isn't it? In other words, what you're seeing, if you're putting wickedness in front of your eyes, you're looking at these things, and whatever it may be, whatever you're lusting over, it's wickedness, isn't it? It's called wicked. God says it's wicked, and it's going to defile your heart. And he's asking us to walk with a what? Pure heart. In other words, like pornography, covetousness of some things I shared with you, material possessions, horror movies, ungodly pictures of lust of your past, things to that degree, anything associated, anything that promotes evil. Amen? You know, did you ever get up, you'd be somewhere and you see somebody with a t-shirt on, it's like all of a sudden a flashback of your past of something, you know? It could be a name of a bar, it could be anything, some kind of demonic, you know, marijuana leaf or whatever, you know? I mean, some people have these wild t-shirts on. Let me share something with you. I've seen, it's amazing. People are like, well, I'm not looking at the bar, I'm just looking at the design. They're not looking at the name of the bar on their shirt, they're looking at the design. You're right. Those things can trigger things, you know that? It opens door, because what happens is you begin to look at it, don't you? As you look at it, it brings an impartation. Are those things accursed items? Amen, they are. Do they draw demonic activity? Amen, it does. So if you're associating with this accursed item and you're looking at it, it's drawn demonic activity, guess what? That demonic activity will plant a corruptible seed or even enter you through your eye gates. Is everybody with me? Pornography and stuff like that. You know, people lust over cigarettes, over dip. I mean, they lust over it. They go back. The Bible says once you've been delivered from something and you go back to it and do it again, it's an abomination. Hello? Now, the devil's not dumb. He's not dumb. People lust over food, don't they? I'm going to share a couple things with you about lust. See, lust always involves in a secret. Lust is always associated with a secret. I'm going to share more about that with you. In other words, it's hidden. Look at Proverbs 27. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I remember that when I got saved, one of the first things I had to do is throw out a lot of my old pictures. You know, I kept some pictures that would bring glory to God because where the Lord brought me from. In other words, my mug shot in jail, I kept that. You know, because I know one day it would be a testimony of where I was and what God has done. You know, praise God. But which they put on TV all over the country, so hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you become a movie star for a few seconds, you know. Actually, it was a rock star at that time. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 27 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Oh, this is a good one. Let me tell you. Come on, read it with me. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of a man are what? Never. Your eyes are never satisfied. Whoa. Eyes are never satisfied. Lust. Your eyes lust. Your eyes are never satisfied. It's always looking for something better. Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
Good. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 28 and 27, I'm sorry. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman, of course, or a man, to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Why? Because of the what? Eye. It says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For if it is more profitable for you that one of your members be perished than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And I've shared this before. Please do not come in with patches on your eye next Bible study. Hello. That's all you have to do is repent. Hello. Don't pluck out your eye or have your roommate or somebody pluck out your eye. Cut off your hand or whatever it is. Amen. We're not religious. The old covenant has been fulfilled. It's no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Go to Job chapter 31. It's the employment section. You want a job? Look for Job. Job 31. 1. Is everybody there? Job 31, 1 through 4, would you read it with me? I have made a covenant with what? With what? My eyes. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Job said, you know what? I'm making a covenant with this. You know what? I'm making a decision not to look at things I'm not supposed to. The Bible says, put no evil thing before your eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and a disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? I'm telling you, it's amazing because lust is involved. We talk about impurity, right? It's involved in deception. Lust blinds, doesn't it? Go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Oh, hallelujah. Exodus 34. Is everybody there? And verse 6 and 7. And the Lord passed before him, this is Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in the goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Three types. Iniquity is inherited. Transgression is the act, and sin is the association with the presence of evil. Is everybody with me? Now, it says, now look at this, is powerful. Keeping mercy for the thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. It says, the iniquity. Iniquity is inherited. How is it inherited? How is it brought forth? He said he didn't go talk about bringing the sin down, did he? He talked about bringing the iniquity down. He didn't talk about bringing the transgression down, did he? He talked about bringing the iniquity down. Why? Because the iniquity is transferred from the heart. Hello? It's transferred from the heart. Watch. Okay, I want you to look at this. Lust is iniquity. I mean, lust is, in other words, you're associating. You're looking at sin, right? What have you just done? You've associated with the presence of evil, haven't you? What's happened? It's imparted something in your heart, isn't it? That's iniquity, isn't it? Didn't he just say the iniquity where? In your heart. That's what's passed down from generation to generation. Not the transgression, not the sin, the iniquity. Hello? Okay, let's go to... hallelujah. Go to Exodus 20. Why is this an iniquity? Why? Because it dwells in your heart, doesn't it? Does everybody understand that? It dwells in your heart. Now, sin, I want to share something. I'm going to go a little bit, expand this a little bit more. Sin is association with darkness, isn't it? So if you were to actually, sin is not the act. Because remember, we just read that sin is seen, isn't it? If you look upon a woman or a man or whatever and lust after them or commit adultery in your mind or you're in your heart, it's considered iniquity. You've already committed the act, right? Because it's been imparted. So sin is the presence of evil, isn't it? Now, when you associate with the presence of evil, what you're doing is you're touching and agreeing. Hello? You're saying, whoa, if you keep looking and looking and looking, now you're accepting it. What the devil's done is just imparted something in you. Iniquity. That iniquity that's imparted in your heart is transferred down. In fact, they had a powerful testimony about a little girl who had a surgery in her heart. This was about 2 years ago. There was a little girl that was raped and killed. Okay, and there was another little girl who needed a heart. They put this heart in this girl. The heart transplant was successful. This little girl, after a period of time, was having nightmares about being raped and could see the face of the person who raped. And she couldn't understand. She tried to tell her mom and dad, and they just kept putting it aside. Finally, they said, what's going on? They went to the doctor, and they decided to call the police. Did you know that this little girl, because she got a heart transplant, was able to identify the rapist, and they arrested him? Why? Because it's transferred by what? The heart. Is everybody with me? I mean, that was powerful when I heard that. Powerful. Oh, to God be the glory. Where did I say to go? Exodus 20? So you don't think the devil's playing with us? You know it. Anything that you look at can cause an iniquity. It can cause an impartation in your heart unless you repent for it. Lust is associated. That's what the lust of the eye. Your eyes are lusting. They're looking for something. They can never be satisfied. The Word tells us that. Come on, did you ever overeat? Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, man, it looks great. Woo, I want to eat a butt. Man, come on, did you ever hear somebody say, well, your plate's bigger than your eyes or whatever, your stomach is bigger than your eyes or however. I mean, somebody walked back like this, man, that stuff looks good. Whoa, I'm going to eat all that, yeah. Yeah, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Something like that. Thank God I'm not of this world. In verse 5. Exodus 20, I think it's verse 5. Oh. Okay, yeah. Let's start at verse 4. This is good. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image. Hello? What do? They worship it. By what? Sight. You're not going to make a carved image being blind, are you? Any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord your God, and am jealous God, visiting the what? Iniquity of the what? Fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Wow. So we see iniquity is imparted in the heart and it's transferred down. Is everybody with me? Oh. So sin is not passed down, but iniquity is, isn't it? Lust does not... Lust, I'm going to share something with you. There's something important to remember. Lust does not want gratification for anyone but self. Lust does not want gratification for anyone but self. All impurity or lust involves deception. People get married out of lust and find after a while that the satisfaction is no longer being fulfilled. That's because they got married out of lust. You know, one of the results of this, because prior to getting married, people who were not in the world, I mean, who were not in the body of Christ, if you think about it, most people lived together beforehand, didn't they? You know what I mean? Before they got married, when those who were in the world. Actually, cheating on one another was, it's a part of a common thing. I mean, even the president had an affair, right? Not our president now, but Clinton had an affair. And the whole world reelected him. I mean, the whole country reelected him. So think about that. I mean, here was perversion right in the office of the White House. He defiled himself. And people were saying, well, you know, his personal life doesn't have anything to do with his office. Baloney, it doesn't. Shh. How? Let me tell you something. Your personal life has everything to do with your office in the body of Christ. Everything. Your personal life. But the whole country, it blew my mind that they reelected the president, Clinton, after he profaned and defiled his office. It lets you know right where we were. It lets you know where the world was at and the country was at, wasn't it? To people, I mean, people get married and divorced like it's going into a candy store. No. See, one of the things that happens is because when people get married out of lust, they lose that zealousness. They lose certain things. And then they begin to look for it somewhere else. That's why that lie of always looking on the other side. You know, looking at it's greener on the other side. You know why? They're looking for a fulfillment or a satisfaction that's not of God. Does everybody understand that? It can't be satisfied. Never can be. You know, people sneak around and have affairs, this and that, and then they get married, and they lose that zealousness or that, because they didn't have love, they had lust. And then they go back and have affairs because they're trying to regain that satisfaction. It's just like somebody who's bound by crack. They're trying to go back for that first hit because they're lusting over the dope. But they're not in love with the dope. Does anybody understand that? They're lusting over the dope. They're not in love with it. Why, man? Where did it start with? Right here. You know, you think about it. When people lust or whatever, or they fornicate or they go back using dope, you don't think that they see it? Amen. They see it right in their mind, don't they? They see it in that imagination. That devil's painted a perfect, full-color RCA picture, man. You know, widescreen, everything. Full round sound and everything. I'm telling you what. He's got it all set up where he's causing you to lust right there. Lust right there. And what he starts doing is he starts encouraging and promoting and watering. Come on, how many times have you looked at food and started your mouth started melting away or drooling? Oh, man, I can't wait till I put my chops in that baby, you know? A big chunky steak or whatever it may be for us flesh eaters. Oh, hallelujah. But does everybody understand that? So what happens is people go back into that cycle. But it's an area where they can never be fulfilled or never be satisfied because it's lust. That's why people jump from relationship to relationship. They're looking for that first hit again. That's lust. That's not love. That's why families are destroyed and everything. Husband and wives are fornicating on one another and everything. They're in lust. They're not in love. Hello? There is a difference between lust and love. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Oh, praise God. Sin of looking. That's what it is, isn't it? It's the sin of looking. They're trying to satisfy an appetite created or generated by darkness. Is everybody with me? Let me repeat that again. They are trying. Hello. That's why there's pornography and everything else. What's the devil trying to do? Entice something, doesn't he? He's trying to give an appetite of lust, isn't he? Here it is. Even addiction, the same thing. They are trying to satisfy an appetite created or generated by darkness. And it can't be satisfied. Drugs or addiction is a curse, isn't it? Addiction is a curse. It can't be satisfied, can it? Lust of money or love of money. So many people believe they're in love, but they're actually in lust. So they divorce, murder, lie, abuse, you name it. In the name of love. Hello, in the name of... Yes, I killed them because I love them! Really? That's not the love I know. People, now listen, I love my wife, so I killed my kid to get back at her. That's what's happening. Isn't jealousy lust? I mean, look at what's going on. It's phenomenal. It's getting worse, isn't it? It's a cycle of sin and deception continues. It repeats itself. It's the appetite created by lust and not love. Appetite God did not want us to have. It's called sneaking lust, you know. Anything where there's lust is usually sneaking. Now, the evil spirits will convince you that no one will see what you're doing, not even God. That's what they like to do. Oh, nobody sees, not even God. Listen. Go to James chapter 1. Is everybody all right? James chapter 1 and verse 14. Would you read it with me? But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? His own desires and what? Enticed. Ooh. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings what? Forth death. Amen? That's spiritual death, isn't it? One of the things that we do not want to do is because what happens is when we're involved with this, remember we talked already, the presence of God, we get separated from God. Lust will separate you from the presence of God. It will separate you from His promises and it will separate you from His love. Not that God isn't there waiting for you. Amen. It leads to spiritual death, lying and deception. Lust can become a way of life. People learn how to become religious. Oh, they can become religious, but not godly. I want to repeat that. People become religious, but not godly. Well, there's a lot of people going to church. But there's a lot of lustophiliacs. impurity will affect your relationship with God, your family, and the body of Christ. Why? Because lust creates impurity, doesn't it? The Bible says, depart from evil. In other words, run. Too many people pet evil. Go to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 66 in verse 16. Come and hear all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. Verse 18, everybody read this with me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Hear what? My prayers. If I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear my prayers, will He? Hello? And how's that iniquity inherited or manifested or brought by? What? Lust of the eye. One of the things we don't want to do is lose communication with God, do we? Go to Proverbs 80 or 28. Proverbs 28. So what happens is when we have iniquity in our heart and we know God's not answering our prayers, what happens is we begin to get a hardened heart and we begin to not hear Him in obedience. In verse 9 it says, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is what? An abomination. That's why the Bible says the Lord hears the prayer of a worshiper, but He does not hear a prayer of a sinner. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10. Oh, hallelujah. And verse, let's go to 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he what? Ooh. You know, many people think, well, I've overcome that. No, everybody's vulnerable. There isn't anybody here who's made it, let me tell you. Everybody is vulnerable. There's a couple things that we must do. Of course, we must pray every day. We must fill our mind with the Word. And we must choose not to look. Amen? We must choose not to look. And when we do, we need to turn our heads quickly and repent. Don't go back. And trust that the Lord will help. He's there to help us, isn't He? Go to Philippians 4. Let's pray, fill our minds with the Word, choose not to look, and trust that the Lord will help. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, look upon these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians 6. And we got one more scripture. Second Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. Lust of the eye. Remember, pride of life is lust. The Bible says, before a fall is a what? Haughty spirit, right? In verse 14, do not be what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If, or therefore, you come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, and do not what? Touch. Can you touch things by looking? You betcha. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. I want to close it. 1 John chapter 3. So what do you do when something comes across your path? You know, stuff comes into me all the time. You know, it could be the simplest thing. It could be a magazine of clothes, but you know what? They pervert everything now. You know, my wife gets stuff in the mail. I'd be going through the mail and there's a magazine there. I go, man, I got a cursed, corruptible seed. I mean, because it could be simple. I mean, somebody could be selling a computer with no clothes on. You know, I mean, you name it. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. It doesn't matter. There's always something sensual in there. You know? Always. In that area, there's perversity. There's defilement. Remember, the devil's just trying to defile us in every way he can. And he's going to do it through the lust of the eye, isn't he? Amen? 1 John chapter 3. First three verses, read it with me. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it does not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we just take this opportunity and we repent for the sin of looking. Lord, any corruptible seed that has been parted in us from the lust and the sin of looking, we curse and command to wither and die and break and loose ourselves from every associated spirit with it. Whether it be through horror flicks on TV, lust, covetousness, or even pride of selfishness, looking. Lord, forgive us for everything that we have sinned in the area of our eyes. Wash us clean tonight, Father. Grant us a new slate. In the name of Jesus, purify our hearts that we may leave here tonight cleaned, refreshed, filled, and prepared for Your work. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.